Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. I am thrilled to death over this interview with theater teacher Janice Harris. She has been a theater teacher for over 30 years in North Carolina, and she had very little background in it, did not pursue it out of school, and only became one because her middle school students were begging for a class. And that wasn't enough. Janice was the epitome of perseverance. She had to pursue her administration for 3 years before they let her put together a drama class. I love that. And I would say that everything about Janice is the epitome of perseverance. We'll be publishing her first play, Mythologues, which is a collection of Greek mythology monologues. And I have to say, I think that is a awesome title. It says exactly what it is. It is one of those titles that I wish I had come up with myself. And it took her about 3 years to write. She'd only work in the summers, bring it in to work with her students, and she never gave up. So if you're new to teaching, if you're feeling maybe a bit at sea, maybe you're alone in the middle of nowhere trying to teach drama with no life preserver, and you need a little motivation, this podcast is especially for you. So let's get to it. So we are here. We are standing in outside. Just hear birds. Oh, there's one right up there. At the North Carolina Theater Educators Association. Yes. How long have you been a member?
Since it started.
Which is how long is that?
So, I don't know, 17 years.
17 years? Like, yes. And how long have you been? And you're a teacher.
I am a teacher.
What do you teach?
I teach theater arts, also right now I'm teaching creative writing.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that?
Theater arts I've been teaching about 30 years.
Yeah? What got you into teaching theater?
The kids.
Yeah?
The kids going, can we have a drama class? Can we have a drama class? Can we have a drama class?
Do you have a background in theater?
I did not originally.
Yeah?
I did not originally. I started out as an English teacher.
I have an English degree as well, so.
Mm-hmm. And then the kids, can we have a drama class? And finally we got one. I liked it so much, I decided that's what I wanted to do.
What is it about drama that you like?
The creativity.
Yeah.
The relationship with the students. I just love everything about it.
Yeah. What is it? Because it really seems that it is the students for you. It's the student. For me, it's drama is a way that they can express themselves in a way like no other, I think. Mm-hmm. What is it about when the kids come to life?
I always tell the kids you can do things on stage that you would never do in real life.
Yeah.
Can do and say things that you would like to, but you don't have the courage to.
Yeah.
Because on stage, it's not you doing it, it's your character doing it.
Yes.
And so it gives you that safety, you know, that, of coming out of your shell.
Do you have any stories of students who just weren't accomplishing in the classroom and what they really came to life on stage?
Yes. Yeah. And I've got, you know, lots of experiences where teachers will come to me and say, I can't believe you got this student to do that on stage.
Yeah.
Their relationship with me and in the theater is different from their relationship with their science teacher, their math teacher. You know, and what they'll do for me and how they behave for me is totally different.
Yeah. So when did you, was Mythologues your first play that you've written, or have you written more?
I actually started another script, which is sitting on the shelf, based on a book.
Yeah.
Real life of someone in North Carolina.
So you have been working in theater for 30 years, mm-hmm. and then it was Mythologues, which sort of, you made the jump to playwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
what was it about the whole situation? What was it about Greek myths or your students or the writing that just said, okay, I have to do this?
When I'm teaching and we're dealing with the theater history, I like to tie the plays in with the curriculum.
Yes.
What they're doing on stage. And for Theater One, so many, you know, for them to do Antigone, for example.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming, you know. So I was looking for more familiar stories, and I found some information. You'll find things occasionally, some readers' theater scripts and that kind of thing. But I wanted something, particularly with the Theater Ones, beginning theaters are called now,
yeah,
with the new curriculum, where they could develop a character and learn those beginning movements, expressions, gestures, which is where I generally start out with them on stage, is with a small monologue.
Right. And so just sort of tying in the Greek...
Tying in the Greek mythology
to a character.
With the ancient Greek theater history.
Right.
That's what we're doing at that point.
So where did you start?
Where did I start?
With mythologues.
With the mythologues.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I just looked over a list of just characters and just started reading about a lot of different characters.
Yeah?
And then I would choose one to focus on.
Do you remember the first one you wrote?
First one I wrote. You know, I'm really not sure which one the first.
Well, how long has it been? How long have you been working on it?
About 3 years.
3 years?
Uh-huh. Basically in the summertime.
Yes.
Is when I write, because during the school year, I'm too busy.
Yes.
To sit down and focus like that.
So what's the writing process? What is it like for you? Like when that first time when you sat down and you decided in the summer, I'm going to do this. You started reading, and then did the characters start speaking to you, or did you just start free writing? Like what was your first step?
Well, free writing, because I would just make notes, just random notes, just a fact here, a fact there, a quote from one of the ancient manuscripts or whatever. And then I would... And just, it's more of a mental thing. I'm not really writing it down. It's more of a mental thing. I would just start literally talking it out. I talk when I write, and I talk when I read. And I like to hear what I've written. I want to hear how it speaks. And so I would start talking it out, and I would type it on the computer, as opposed to most of the time when I'm writing like an essay or something, I'll write on paper, then I'll put it on the computer. Good old fashioned. That's the way I grew up doing it, you know? But these, I usually would do like one. I tried to do a couple of monologues a week during the summertime.
Yep.
So I'd do like one a day, and I'd sit down and I'd focus on one character, and I'd work all day on that one character.
Awesome.
By the end of the day, I would have something written, and I would sit there, and I would read it, and I would listen to it, and I would go back, and I would revise it, and I would change it, and I would read it out loud again as I'm sitting there, you know, just speaking it, just listen to it, to how it flows.
And what did you find that... Did you find sometimes that what was on the page didn't fit when it came out of your mouth, or mm-hmm. how was that really, was it helpful for you to just speak it out loud?
It is helpful for me to speak it out loud and to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that it's exactly how I want to hear it.
Right, because that's what theater, that's what dialogue mm-hmm. is, right? We don't silent read, it comes to life. Yeah. So what was it like the first time you brought them into the classroom? And how many did you bring in?
That first class. I don't even remember exactly how many kids I had in that class. And I actually started with an advanced class.
Mm-hmm.
I let them start. And they picked out the monologues. A couple of them didn't get done. There were more. There were, 31 total?
Yeah.
I think in the book. And I don't think I had 31 at that time. I think I had more like 25, 26, maybe mm-hmm. 27. There were a couple of them that didn't get done, but the kids really liked them. They responded very positively to them.
And how do you know that? What did they do? Did they get into it?
Like they really got into it. They
yeah.
really got into it. And they would read them, and they would share them with each other, and they would talk about them, and then they'd come up to me, and they'd say, right here, you know, and they'd point out something that it didn't sound right, or maybe there was a typo in the paper or something.
Sure.
You know, so that they helped me to refine those scripts. Just even before they started to perform them.
And then what was it like, because it's different when we speak it out loud, but mm-hmm. then to actually see it come out of another person, what was that like for you?
It was just awesome. Wow, I wrote that, and they're really doing it. It's really working, you know? It's cool.
It's a wonderful feeling.
It is.
It's one of the coolest things when you go, wow, that came out of my brain, mm-hmm. and then I wrote it down, and then I, you know, finagled it, and then someone else did it, mm-hmm. and it works.
Mm-hmm. I may have even had a student director at this point. I think I did.
Yeah.
And I let them sort of direct it on their own. And so they would come up, you know, can we do so-and-so? And I try anything you want to.
What kind of things would they do?
The setting, how they wanted to set it, or perhaps more than one person on stage at a time, or the idea of doing a monologue. You know, the traditional monologue is typically one person on stage at a time. Or the interaction of characters within the monologue, and yet it's still a monologue. You have the other person who's there who's reacting to what's being said by that character.
Right. So I started writing them. Did you, and so the second summer, were you writing more, or were you revising?
The second summer, I wrote more, and I revised.
Okay. And then what was it like with a different class? How did they?
It was interesting to see, because the second time we did it with the beginning theater students.
And how did they take to it?
They did well, but they were beginning theater students, and you could see a big difference between the beginning theater students and the advanced students, which is why I made that note at the beginning of the script that it was written intentionally. When I started writing, I was writing for beginning theater students.
Right.
But first workshop was the advanced students, and to see how they just took that material and ran with it.
Right.
You know, as opposed to the beginning theater student who's just first dipping his toe into performance.
Do you think that was helpful? Was that helpful in your process? Why?
To realize that the script could go, obviously, in more directions than in the way I was thinking about it.
Right. That you knew it worked, so that maybe when the beginners stumbled a little, that they just needed a little more time.
More time. A little bit more coaching.
Right.
A little bit more direction.
Right. How did they take to the characters?
Very well, very well. They really got into it. Some of them they weren't familiar with, and it was interesting.
That was one of the coolest things. I was like, I've never heard of a couple of these Greek things. And then, as I said, that, you know, in a couple of ways, the miss went in a different direction than I heard, and I just think that's fabulous to be able to put that out there. But that's really cool. So what made you want to take the next step with it, which is try and get it published?
I just thought, well, why don't I see if I can get this published?
Do you feel like a playwright?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what a playwright feels like. I'm just proud and, you know, excited that you would publish my script, that you would think that it's good enough to publish.
What do you feel, how is your confidence level as a writer now that you've been through the whole thing now? Because you've been through, you had an idea, and you got it on the page, and then you let students work with it. So you've seen it alive. You've gone the next step and tried to get it published, and then we had a conversation, and we said we wanted it to sort of have a bit more shape. Then you had to go revise, and then we moved forward with it, and it's going to go out into the world, right?
It'll be so interesting to see how it's received.
Yes.
Yes, so to see who's interested in it and what they do with it.
Do you see, can you even envision, like, strangers picking it up and dealing with it? What was that like? What is that like to think about
a
stranger?
It's exciting. It's very exciting. You know? And I'd like to hear their reactions to the material and their feedback, what they think about it, how it works with them and their kids, and what they do with it.
Right. So what is your? So do you think you could? Do you feel? Well, you're working on another play. So do you feel? Talk about what you feel like as a writer now.
It's something that I want to pursue. I want to have more time to sit down and perhaps try writing more.
Yeah?
Yeah. So it's something that I want to explore.
That's very cool. What's your, so is your theater background just been what you've learned on your feet through work or for school?
Well, when I was in high school, I was in chorus and we did a musical every year. That's where it started. That's where it started.
Okay.
And then, of course, I was teaching English, but we had a friend who, this is sort of an aside, was on a recumbent wheelchair. She had received an injury when she was a child, and so she never walked from the time she was 4 years old to when she died. She never walked again. But we were living in Alabama, and we would take her to the Alabama Shakespeare Festival every summer. We would go, and we would spend several days at the festival. And then, of course, we would take our own children as they were growing up to see shows.
Yeah.
And I tried to think. When I was teaching, sometimes we would do a play at school. When I once or twice we did something within the class that we did plays. But when I was middle school and the kids wanted to have a drama class, that's where. And we finally got the class. And then I just had to sort of explore on my own because never having taught it, didn't have any material, had to go and
So what did you do? How did you... Because this is... I think this is a... Because you're like mm-hmm. you're a pioneer. Mm-hmm. You know, you were on your own and you just found a way. So what did you do to...
Well, the first thing I did was the high school that I'm teaching at now. I called them and said, do you have any materials that I could borrow? And they had a set of books that they weren't using.
Yeah.
So I got those books, and that's where I started.
What were they?
It's an old book called Rehearsal, published, I think, in 1974, 73. It's really
right.
old. But it's got a lot of good material in it then. And then I, you know, this was really before, I don't remember how much internet and computer we were doing back in the early 90s, but this was before, you know, you could go online and look up scripts and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So somehow I got scripts. I got catalogs of scripts. And I would, you know, read a description of a script and order it and see if I liked it or not. So,
what was your determination? What was your criteria for what you saw in a script that you liked or not?
Well, I was, you know, looking for a particular type of play. Play that was fun, a play that had enough roles, male and female, for the students. Sometimes, you know, you have to have girls play guys because there's typically in high school not enough guys. Ones that were appropriate for the classroom. Monologues, we started off with like the 1-minute monologue books and that kind of stuff. So I was just looking for things that I felt like that I could do with my students.
How did you learn the... to be a director? Like, how did you...
Just by doing it.
Just by doing it?
Just by doing it. I had also done some community theater by that time.
Right.
And had been involved in acting and stage managing and just working with the theater process through that. So I had some...
You had a base knowledge.
Base knowledge, you know, either from observation or from actually being involved, either as an actor or crew member or whatever. So... And I got a book about directing called The Director's Survival Guide or something like that. Yes. And you know, and I read that.
Can you think of what the best piece of advice you got from all these things that you've sort of gleaned along the way?
I guess I would say, and it's something that I really emphasize with my students, and the fact that it's a team process.
Yeah.
You know, it's a group thing. And, I tell my kids when they came through that theater door, they joined a team. Just as if they were in the band or the chorus or football, basketball team. They're a member of a team. And so we all work together.
And how do you instill that?
From that old rehearsal book, there is a statement that I make my kids memorize, and I call it our acting mantra. And it's acting as a group enterprise. The finished performance is the first concern of the player as well as of the director. Discipline is indispensable. And so they memorize that. That's their homework on the first day of school. And then the next thing that I do is I talk about collaboration. Before we start talking about anything else, we talk about the collaborative process and the different arms of the theater, the director, the actor, the crew, the designers, the business people, how they all work together to make theater successful.
What do you want your kids to leave with once you've had them for 4 years?
Generally speaking, they leave with self-confidence. They leave with a better self-concept, I think. And they do leave with that ability to work together as team members.
It always makes me so sad when drama is maligned in the classroom, where I think that what you just established as what you want students to leave with, it's not a knowledge of drama games, it's self-confidence and teamwork, which will serve them
forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You must feel, do you feel really proud as a teacher?
I am.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed what I do.
Yeah. Did you always want to be a teacher?
Yes. I always wanted to be a teacher. I never wanted to do anything else.
And did you ever imagine, I imagine that drama teaching wasn't what you started out.
No, it was the English. It was the love of English, which is you know, closely related.
It's got a connection.
Connection there, you know, because you do have a drama as part of the English curriculum.
Hmm.
So, but yes, I always wanted to be a teacher.
Okay, so as we end, I think we meet so many teachers who were in the same boat as you, in that they started out in something else, and they sort of fall into drama because it's, I think it's necessary. It's necessary, but they don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a one piece of advice that you could give to a teacher who is in the middle of nowhere, has no resources, and they've got kids coming up to them and saying, can we start, we want a drama class. Can we have a drama class? What would be your advice to that teacher?
Keep pushing your administration to let you teach that class.
Yeah.
Which is what we did. And then, you know, with today's technology, you can reach out and have so many more resources than I did when I was starting out.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I started out and I was just one little lone teacher and didn't really have an association with other theater teachers, but reach out through the internet, reach out through organizations like NCTAE, ITS, and other organizations, and establish some relationships with other teachers. You can go through emails and blogs and chat rooms and all kind of things with theater teachers now. Sometimes you'll see on the internet, you'll see somebody who's looking for a play. They don't have any idea how to reach out with the publishing companies and how to find how to find those contacts and how to find a script. You know, just reach out. It's really hard if you're a teacher out in the middle of nowhere by yourself.
It is.
There's nobody else around you doing that job. You know, so, but with the internet, I think that makes things a little bit easier. The
world is a little smaller.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like when you went to your administrator and said, I'd like to do a drama class, please? What was it like?
I think I hounded on that idea for probably 2 or 3 years before they finally,
oh my God.
They finally let us, you know, my husband says I'm like a bulldog, chew it on a bone and won't let it go.
Persistence.
Persistence, yeah. I think I hammered on that idea for a couple of years before he finally.
Oh, well, that's pretty awesome.
They let us do that first class. And then after that, it was a go.
So it can happen.
It can happen.
Janice, this has been really lovely. Like, I just, when we meet our authors, it's quite often, and I never meet them because it's all done through email and it's all done through, so, and it's so wonderful to hear people's stories. And I've just had it's been great to hear your story. And I love your idea about what theater means to you in the classroom, because I believe that 1,000%, and that's always been my mission. That's what drama builds, that teamwork, that self confidence, and you got to be persistent. We got to be like bulldogs.
Exactly.
Awesome! Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. It's a play feature, it's a play feature, it's time to feature a play. Jazz hands. Okay, so today I'm talking about Mauled. Mauled is a collection of 2 one-act plays by Colleen Newman. You can get it at www.theaterfolk.com. Of course, that title again is Mauled. And yes, both plays take place in a mall. So the first is called Ellen Alice Mona June, and the second is Yes, Virginia, There is a Virginia. Both plays feature all-girl casts. The first one is about the true nature of friendship and those really, really uncomfortable truths that only close friends can say to each other. Very human, exceptional characters. And the second play is deliciously absurd. Yes, it is a delicious play, which is just a treat to read, a treat to watch, in which, among other things, Virginia must answer the cosmic question, Is Inlanders real? Perform them separately, perform them together. Go to www.theaterfolk.com. Search for Mauled. So here is a little tidbit from Ellen Alice Mona June. Mona, are you going to finish your fries? Yes! June, Alice never eats anything, and you are like a vacuum cleaner. You had donuts in the car, nachos when we got here, and now a meatball sandwich, fries, a Coke, chocolate soft serve with carrot sticks, which is surprisingly not bad. June, maybe you should think about why you eat so much. Oh, now you're gonna fix me? Now I have a problem with food? Food is a condition of life. It's like climbing a rope in gym class. Do you like it? No. Do you do it? Well, no. But you try, and you're gonna see. Next day in gym class, you play basketball, which you happen to be pretty good at, and you get an A. Some days we get C's, some days we get A's, some days we flunk, depending on the conditions of life that day. We don't get to pick the conditions. The trouble with most people is they forget that. They have one bad day and they fall apart. Conditions change, and food is a condition of life that produces joy. I eat, therefore, I am joyful. Oh, these carrots are so good. I'm getting a salad. That's Mauled. Colleen Newman, www.theaterfolk.com. Go there. Get it. Do it. Now. Lastly, where, oh, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word theaterfolk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.